Welcome to Off Court, the business of sport podcast, where business and sports culture meet. Let's go. Kick it off, Robbie.
All right, welcome to the Off Court podcast. We are very privileged to have Andy Lee with us today, the founder of the Wad Life, which is a business that I've followed for a number of years. And it's a really, really cool, interesting business that I'm really keen to kind of jump into. So welcome, Andy.
Hey, Robbie, how you doing? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. We've been meaning to tee this up basically since this podcast started for around 9 months, and the stars are finally aligned, and I'm very, very keen to have this chat and learn more about the business. But yeah, if you give us a bit of a spiel or a bit of a rundown of, I suppose, how the business started. I mean, it's 2013, wasn't it?
That's it. Yeah. So back in 2013, I was working in corporate finance and my now business partner, Ben, was working in politics. We were just two guys going to the gym. We were going to a respective CrossFit gyms and we just wanted to get better at our workouts. And one of the things we wanted to get better at was double unders. So we wanted a super fast jump rope and we weren't able to get them in Australia. So we actually reached out to this company in the US and we just wanted to buy one. They weren't shipping to Australia at the time. We couldn't get anywhere. So we said to them, look, hey, can we buy one? They said, look, we can't really ship to Australia, but hey, if you want to set up a wholesale account, we might be able to make something work. So, okay, well, cool. How many do we have to buy for a wholesale account? 30. Geez, okay, 30. 30 is a bit more than sort of two, which is what we were really after. So we said, you know what, let's do it. We'll figure it out after. So I think we put $500 together. I think it cost us about $1,000. And we put $500 in, put the order in, and they arrived in my office in Melbourne at the time and split 50-50 with Ben. I went to the gym where I was in Melbourne and Ben back in Adelaide and sold them to our mates. And I think we ended up getting one each. Maybe we got it for free or not too much extra. But the main thing was that awesome. We ended up with the rope. We made it work. We were legends in our gym because everyone now had this super fast rope. And we sort of thought, all right, we'll leave it at there. But everyone started asking us, well, what else can you get? What else can you get? Can you get this? Can you get that? So we started looking into it a little bit more. And before you know it, we started up a Shopify store at the time. We bought a few products, reached out to a few brands. They all thought we were pretty crazy. No one was really bringing together training products under one roof. There were lots of businesses maybe doing one product here or there, you know, early days of protein bars and things like that. So we pulled together some items that we thought were pretty cool, came up with a little business idea, and then stood up a Shopify store, I think, in a couple of months, paid a friend to help us set that up and launch the site. But we were just working full-time jobs. This was a passion project for us. And it sort of just really started from a pain point. And then sort of fast forward to today, we're almost 10 years in business. So pretty crazy that it's come from just one product that we wanted ourselves. And it's really evolved from there.
So crazy. And you know what I love about, you know, those sort of stories and those businesses that, like yours, that, you know, sprout and then just grow exponentially is, you know, it wasn't designed in a big corporate office. It was just something that, you know, you just happened to want that rope, went and ordered it, and was like, oh, you know, shit, we could actually turn this into something. And I suppose, like, what I want to ask you is how you go from, you know, this kind of, I would say, this reasonably small idea. I'm sure you had, you know, sort of bigger plans in the back of your mind, like, we could do this. But you go from that kind of small thing, that small idea, and, you know, people are telling you you're crazy, but you have this vision and you just kind of go with it. How do you go from that position to the kind of growth period? Is it just incremental things? Like, how did you get brands on board? I'm not sure if you got investors or anything, but how did you just kind of sell it? Was it just like an incremental thing?
Yeah, it's a good question, Robbie. We never really meant for it to be anything more than us just getting a jump rope or us getting a few products in that we wanted for our workouts. But the main thing was that where both Ben and I was super passionate about it, we had that, I guess, entrepreneurial spirit early days there where we wanted to try and solve this pain point, but do something that we were passionate about. We both had professional jobs and this was just sort of a side hustle, but because we were passionate about it, it was just super exciting for us and it didn't really seem like work at the time. I think we got in a few products. And at that time, we asked a mate, hey, can you set us up a bank account? We didn't really think about trademarks or anything about the legalities. We never thought we'd pay tax. We didn't register an ABN. So we didn't really think too much of it. And I think sometimes looking back at it, almost that ignorance of not knowing what you might come up against or the challenges allows you to do these things. I think if we knew what we knew now, maybe we wouldn't have done it. But I think early days, it was exciting for us. We were passionate about it and we just kept leaning into it. We just initially started with buying ones and then we would sell one and then buy two and then build it up from there. We were in it ourselves. So just sourcing products that we knew we would use. And then we found out that other people actually wanted that as well.
Very cool. How did the name come about?
Yeah, important question. I know a lot of people spend so much time on the name and they get focus groups and all this stuff and they land on it. For us, it was the underlying reason for us starting the brand was that it was our lifestyle and we wanted to be reflective of that. So that's sort of the life element. WOD means workout of the day, for those who don't know. And when you're going to the gym, and in particular CrossFit or a functional gym, they put the workout up on the whiteboard or the blackboard every day, and you go in there and you see the workout and you throw down with your friends. So WOD was something that was centrally built around. So we wanted it to be something more than just a store. We wanted it to be a community where we could house information, inspiration, and then sort of the products to help people train as well. So early days, we really thought it was something bigger, and whether we sold products or not, but really we wanted a place and something somewhere that we could bring people together with similar interests. We could sort of share the passion that was, you know, working out.
Mm. And Andy, I think you're ahead of the time as far as community goes, because, you know, your business has obviously built up a really strong community and, you know, I would say almost a cult following, if you will. And community's kind of becoming a buzzword now, I suppose, in e-commerce and branding, where particularly, you know, we were talking just before we jumped on about some of the, you know, the rising ad costs, and there's challenges for all businesses across the board, and a lot of brands are starting to realize that, hey, you know, we actually need a strong community if we're going to be a sustainable business. So, you know, was that something that you decided strategically you were going to build from the start, or was it something just kind of came naturally with the product?
Yeah, it's funny. We never really mapped it out. We never really set up a business plan, you know, despite my better judgment having studied far too much in, you know, business, marketing and finance. We should have had a business plan, but we never really thought it would be anything bigger than just a couple of guys getting some product in and using it. So it's all really just come naturally for us. And whenever we read these articles, you know, you talk about buzzwords and things like that. Oh, the five things that you need to have a successful business. I would read something like that and just go, of course you do. So for us, it really just came naturally that in essence, what we were trying to do was establish a community of like-minded people and just share, you know, news, information, ideas, inspiration. And if the products came from there as well, then, you know, you might have a business off the back of it. But we honestly never even thought of having a business early days. We never even dreamt of what we're doing now. We just wanted to connect with other people. And back then there was a lot of forums, Facebook groups maybe were starting to grow a little bit, but there wasn't really any way to connect with like-minded people who were into the same thing that we were into.
No, that's cool. And I suppose talk to us about your business model, because it's like, you know, just from the outside, obviously I have analyzed it a little bit, but it's essentially a bit of a hybrid retail model, isn't it? So like you've got your own branded stuff, but then you also sell, you know, some key brands like Nike and Adidas and that sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure. So we are a multi-brand retailer. So our business is broken down into two real parts. One being a multi-brand retailer, we get to work with the best brands in training. So Nike, Adidas, Reebok, Under Armour. There's some pretty powerful brands that I know as I, when I was growing up, you know, flicking through magazines, seeing Michael Jordan wearing a pair of Nikes, you know, I always wanted to wear Nikes and be associated with it. So now to work with them today is pretty amazing feat. So housing that is the home of training. So we want to be a one-stop shop for everything that you need training. So we work with these big brands and position them in a way that they have, I guess, access to our community. And then where there aren't necessarily the product that they create or provide, we look to provide an alternative under the Wadlife. So the Wadlife brand in itself, again, was never really a plan for us. First pop-up event, we were at a local fitness competition and we were slinging some of our wares down there, and we actually just printed our logo on our t-shirt so that they would know who the guys running the shop were. And people were like, wow, that's cool, where did you get that? And we sort of thought, well, this is just our t-shirt, do you want one? Yeah, absolutely, that's awesome. So we figured out that we were highly passionate about what we were doing, and we knew the products that we wanted, and they weren't necessarily on the market, or you weren't able to get access to it. For example, at the time, all of the brands had really long, baggy workout shorts. And if you're having a reasonably intense workout or even squatting, the shorts would catch on your knee or on the side of your leg. So again, no real experience in product design. We just went, hang on a second, what if these shorts were above the knee? And what if there was a side split on the side of the shorts so they didn't catch on your thigh when you're at the bottom of the squat? So really, again, in essence, our brand has just evolved from a need and where we see an opportunity to create products that maybe there's a gap in the market or other brands don't provide. So together with working with these really awesome brands, we create our own products and we really curate everything that someone stepping foot in the gym would need. And we try and facilitate that holistic experience. So they don't have to go to 4, 5, 10 different shops to get everything they need. They can come to one place. They can get everything in one transaction. They can get really good, honest advice. We don't stock stuff that we don't trust or we don't wear or use ourselves. So that's super important to us. We just want to have really good experience and make life easier, as we sort of say, less time waiting, more time training.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And, you know, I think one of the trends, which is, I think it's kind of weird actually now to say it given where we're going, but I think one of the trends is we'll see a lot of those kind of micro brands, if you will, or products merge into one kind of multi-brand retailer, as you are. I think, you know, it's going to be increasingly difficult for some of those particularly smaller brands to kind of retain their audiences that don't have strong communities. So I think that's where that multi-brand, and I don't want to say department style store, because I think that would be offensive, but certainly those hybrid stores where you can go to one destination to fulfill a number of different needs is certainly the way it's going. But what are some of the challenges in stocking some major brands? Because I imagine they put, you know, a bit of red tape around what you can and can't do and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so we're super lucky to be able to work with some of the top brands, and there's very few people, definitely in Australia, but globally, who do have that opportunity. So we love being able to work with them. To get in the door there is probably the biggest challenge, you know, presenting business models, and they have to believe in what you're doing, and they have to believe that you're adding value to their brand and their business, something that has come under a lot more scrutiny recently. So firstly, you need to sort of get your foot in the door. And then secondly, you need to be able to, you know, communicate in a professional way that they know, okay, these guys are actually sophisticated and they know what they're doing. The order sizes are pretty substantial. Quite often, you have to place orders quite a fair way in advance as well. So whether it's Nike or Reebok, we basically have to place orders 12 months in advance.
Wow. That requires some extra planning, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I know with Nike, a lot of their products are still in development. So we've put a lot of money in the past onto something that comes up at Nike with an orange lock on it. We don't get to see the product. We just sort of see the name, a couple of codes, and we go, okay, is this going to work or not? So yeah, it's a bit of a risk there, but these brands always deliver really, really good product, and they quite often lean on us as well to understand, okay, what products do your community, does your audience want? Does this product work for them? Does that product work for them? And really, it's a partnership there. It's not just a, you know, log in, place your order. It's pretty collaborative. We work on a lot of co-branded marketing opportunities as well, because we want to be seen to position the business and the brand in the best light. And you need to have a team behind you to be able to do that. All of the assets that you create need to be world-class. Quite often they need to be signed off by the HQ or the marketing departments within these brands. So you need to have a team behind you to be able to deliver at that level. They always want to see you growing and investing more as well. But the main thing is that you're adding value to their brand and their business over and above what they can do. And if you're just going to get a product and throw it on your website, cross your fingers and hope it sells, it's not really going to work, and they're not really going to see you as a value add partner for them. So it's definitely demanding, but it's definitely worth it for us. It makes up a good proportion of our business. And again, we wouldn't be able to fulfill what we do without working with the best brands on the planet in the training space.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. You know, I think even from an ego perspective, as you said, you were someone that grew up wearing, you know, Nike shoes and stuff. It's pretty cool to be able to sell the latest products from these major companies that is obviously global. And there's just, you know, particularly with shoes as well, it's particularly, you know, collectors and resale value as well with some of those new kicks that come out. What have been some of the things, because you know, as you said, you're coming up to 10 years of business. What are some of the things you think over the journey, or even more recently, have kind of moved the needle for you? What have been the levers that have kind of made a difference?
Yeah, it's cool to kind of look back on this, and I appreciate these opportunities to sort of chat about the brand and the journey, because when you're in it, you don't really get to stop and smell the roses and appreciate it. So it's times like these which you sort of force me to look back and to highlight a few of them. Over the journey, I mean, the first year when we won the Shopify Builder Business competition was the first real change for us. We were the fastest growing sports and recreation business in the world, just two guys originally from Adelaide going for it on the global scale. So that was the first moment where we thought, okay, we're onto something here. We might be working out of our bedrooms at the time and burning the midnight oil, but that was the point in time where we sort of stood up and went, awesome, we've actually got something here. So that was number one. The biggest one most recently has been when we started to grow our team. Being a bootstrap business, it's always pretty difficult to know how to grow the business, who to bring on board and when, and then also to balance the books at the same time. So for a long time within the business, we were sort of working, we didn't take a salary, we were working with agency or contractors and doing what we could and reinvesting absolutely everything we could into the business. In 2019, we basically made the call to say, all right, we want to build this internally. We want to maybe transition from working with agencies on the marketing front and build an internal marketing team and really go from there. So that was probably the biggest inflection point for us. And it came at a very important time pre-COVID, where we started to get some really talented people on board and working for us in a larger capacity. We've always been super lucky in the people that have spent their time with us and started their career or been involved with our journey to that point. But from then on, we sort of took a big risk to start to really grow the team and to invest more as well. So doing that sort of pre-COVID, I think we set up at a coffee shop one day and had a few days worth of interviews lined up. And after a couple of days, we basically had our first in-house marketing team. And then we all got in the office that we started to rent. And I think we were in there for 1 or 2 weeks. And then we sort of said, okay, guys, we're going to have to work remotely now because the pandemic sort of struck. But having that team in place allowed us to really have control of what we were doing and invest more in our brand and our platform. When we decided to actually go through a rebrand as well and double down on understanding who the Wildlife is, what it stands for, how it looks and feels and sounds, was another moment where we started to really consolidate the why, what we were doing and what the longer term strategy was. I think to that point, we were just working for that next day, that next month, but it allowed us to really analyze the brand, the market, the business, and to come up with what we feel is a pretty unique, cool aesthetic and feel that will allow us to really be identified in the market and cut through. So just to summarize there, one, when we actually was able to look back and validate the idea and allow us to sort of go all in. Two, for bringing on board a really amazing team, and then three, doubling down on our brand and really defining that so we knew what we were about and how we were going to go about it.
Awesome. No, that's really, I suppose it's really interesting information, and you know, I think we're privileged to kind of have you on and get access to that kind of, you know, that kind of really helpful information. How'd you go through COVID? Because it's obviously an interesting time for every business. Like, no business was unaffected in some way, shape or form. You know, obviously, you know, there's been lots of stories about e-commerce businesses either gone through the roof or really struggled through the pandemic. We've obviously, we were speaking just before about increasing costs of pretty much everything. But at the same time, you know, people are ordering a lot more online. So how did you fare through the pandemic and through COVID?
Yeah, it's a question I get asked a lot. And I always say that we are lucky, but also lucky by design, in that when we started the business early days, we were very long on e-commerce. We were very invested in buying things online, that online experience. And we just knew that's where the future was going. Even back then, it was pretty early days, but that's the feeling that we had, and we wanted to invest in that. So, you know, people say, oh, it's an overnight success, or some businesses just went through the roof during COVID, but there's a lot of years that built up to being at the door to have that opportunity. I know that, yes, we were online, people were able to buy things from us, but it definitely wasn't all easy sailing. I know the day that things sort of got announced, whether that's one, lockdowns or people not being able to go to the gym. As I said, we hired a marketing team and told everyone, okay, guys, I know you've just met, but we're all going to have to work from home now. And those first couple of days where myself and Ben were just trying to figure out, what are we going to do here? What does it look like? There's absolutely no playbook there that you can just sort of roll out to take steps through to navigate that. So lucky there was two of us, and I'm very lucky to have a cool, calm and collected business partner who helped me navigate that. But we just took things back to basics, and we just sort of said, right, guys, let's just focus on selling these things each day to try and break even and really strip it right back. At that time, people weren't buying shoes or new outfits or anything. They were sort of worried about what was going to happen. But a lot of our audience were stuck at home. They couldn't go to the gym. So they were looking for things to sort of work out with. So we had to pivot pretty quickly into that. The first things that went were anything that you could pick up and put down. That just absolutely flew out. But again, you couldn't plan for that. You couldn't have 12, 24 months worth of fitness products or fitness equipment sitting on your shelves ready to sell during a pandemic. So we basically had no stock, and all the stock that we had went out the door day one. So we had to figure out, how do we get product? What product do people want? And how do we help facilitate that? One of the cool things we did without even thinking about selling a product was we stood up at the time the world's largest online fitness competition, where we basically got all the team together and said, within 24 hours, we're going to post a workout each day for a week. We're going to throw it out to our community and get people to participate in it. It was all at-home workouts, and it just sort of took people's mind off what was going on in the world and just brought them back to training, something positive, and building from there. So that was something really cool that we did. And then from there, we were able to figure out how we'd get access to product, what products people want. We ended up standing up a equipment category in the business where no one's really able to get access to equipment. So we did our own products there and tried to control the experience. I know a lot of people were getting let down in that you couldn't get anything anywhere, or people were ripping you off for the prices. So we really tried to stop that and give our customer base and our community access to that stuff. There were definitely ups and downs. There were days we didn't sell anything. There were days that we sold lots of things, and it was pretty crazy. People were, I guess, worried and not sure what was going to go on, what was happening. So we wanted to make sure that our team had the safety, that our community and our audience had some sort of motivation, because we knew it wouldn't necessarily be forever. And we try to utilize that e-com experience to help people out, to get them the products and to keep them positive, to navigate the challenges of the whole period.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Sounds like you were able to kind of navigate and zig and zag and do what, you know, had to be done during that time, which was key, I think, because it's, you know, I think just generally it's key to be nimble. But yeah, I remember getting a couple of calls that night when the announcement got made, and you know, I had people calling me saying, no, businesses can't trade now, like it's it, like you have got to just shut down. I was like, how can you just shut down? It doesn't make sense. Like, there were so many, I would say for a good 2 or 3 weeks there was unknowns, like, is Australia Post going to be even running? Can couriers work? Can warehouses stay open? So all those things are just, you know, I think there was an underappreciation of how much, you know, anxiety and stress that can cause. You know, we're talking about literally thousands of businesses and business owners and employees of those businesses. And you know what, even customers of those businesses who rely on those products, just total uncertainty. So, you know, it was more or less a shit show for a couple of weeks there. But, you know, I think as you said, as the week started to build on, we got a little bit more certainty, but not necessarily certain about when lockdowns were going to start and end and all that sort of thing. So yeah, being able to be nimble and really being able to adapt to the different circumstances was awesome. I think we've seen a few things come out of it as well around, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but particularly around that hybrid model where you don't have to be in an office sort of 9 to 5 every single day. You can work from home or you can work from somewhere else. You know, I think people have started valuing things other than just being so work-centric. They're building their lives more completely. So I think, you know, they're sort of things that have come out of COVID from my perspective anyway. Is that, you know, something that you kind of share?
Yeah, I mean, during the whole time, it was one of the positives that we felt is that we could almost get back to our roots as being sort of scrappy, you know, business operators to just try and find ways to get through it. I know Ben and I really took it on board as our mission to, one, make sure that our team and our staff still had a job. So we basically took all the risk on ourselves to navigate it because we didn't want to lose anyone. Luckily, we didn't. We actually grew the team over that time period. In addition to that, we wanted to try and have a positive message out there about health, fitness, and maintaining that healthy lifestyle, just working out, even if it's, you know, doing air squats and push-ups in your driveway, just something to break up the day as those sort of 2 years molded into one. We just tried to keep things positive. And I think being an e-commerce and being a digital-based business and working with people all over the world, I think we've always had that sort of flexibility in our DNA. I think if people, as you said, have reflected on the jobs that they do and they want to be working for businesses that have a mission and have a goal, and it's not just like a lemming walking into work every day with your briefcase and your suit on. It's, you know, what are you doing? Who are you doing it with? And we are big believers in that. What we do is surrounding a lifestyle, in that we're super passionate about health, fitness, and training, and we work our work into that, whether it's doing workouts with the team or, you know, talking about that with our coworkers. We try and share this lifestyle and the vision for what we do so that we enjoy each other's company and we really have a purpose as to what we do. It's not just about, you know, the paycheck, but it's wanting to grow as individuals and to achieve things collectively as a team and to be better than you were yesterday. So we've really tried to take that forward and build the brand and business off the back of that. There's definitely been so many learnings that we've had as business owners and people and managers and leaders that we never would have learned probably at the speed we had to around, yeah, empathy and that having that mission that people can align with. And that's been super important for us. And we've got a great team as a result of that I'm super proud of.
Yeah, I love that. And that's like, you know, building those values through the team and giving everyone, you know, I suppose the platform to develop and ignite their own sort of mission and purpose is really cool. So I think you've done an awesome job there. And before we wrap up, I want to know what the next phase is. What's in the works? What's in the pipeline for the next year or so?
Yeah, again, good question. For us, the next step is taking the Wodlife global. We've got an amazing community in Australia and we've got a lot of people that order from us and connect with us and interact with us across the world, but really we want to continue to build the platform and the community on a global scale. We've got a great community over in the US and the grassroots of that in Europe, also through Asia. So we really want to do more on a global scale. We want to be present in more markets and to be able to deliver what we do in Australia to global. So
that's
our big goal. In terms of products, we've got a lot of collaborations coming this year with artists and athletes. We've got some licensing deals as well, which we're super excited about. So yeah, the year's really only getting started here, and we're really excited about what's coming and doing it together with some really great people.
Awesome. Andy, it's been an absolute privilege to have you on the podcast. And before we wrap up, where can people find out more about what you're up to?
Yeah, definitely. If you're keen to know more about the Wadlife, check out thewadlife.com, the Wadlife on Instagram as well for all the latest releases there. If you want to connect with me, feel free. Andy Lee on LinkedIn, always a good spot. Always keen to catch up and to learn from other people and help provide some value wherever I can.
Awesome. Thanks very much for your insights, and appreciate you coming on the pod.
Thanks for having me, Robbie. Appreciate it.